Hello and welcome to It's Not My Fault This Podcast Is Not Popular from the OASG.com. I'm Muse.
Justin's here.
And this is a podcast talking about news and other things going on in the anime fandom, fan base, whatever else comes up and whatever comes to mind.
Also the industry. Hey, don't be disrespecting the industry like that.
Oh yeah, of course the industry. It's been a while for me.
Especially for you.
This podcast.
I mean, seriously, what's with this chainsaw business? That's got to be dangerous, isn't it?
I had computer issues for several weeks. I still have, technically. I might fix it up, I'm not sure yet. But I previously was on a 2008 MacBook Pro. And it had a lot of problems just because of how old it was, just from age. And I'd fixed it up several times before, but then I started having fan issues, and the computer was literally screaming at me. I could barely run any programs because of overheating problems, and I just said, you know what, forget it. I need a new computer.
I'm surprised you had something that lasted that long. Like, I think my old computer, it lasted like maybe 4 years where I had to get a new one, and then I had this old computer. It still works. It's really slow now, though.
Yeah, I honestly was like, oh, well, it's still working, so I'll just wait for it to die, and then I'll get a new one, and now I'm like, it sounds like a chainsaw. I can't work like this.
Who did you disturb with that noise?
My family, mostly. At one point, my mom was outside, and she thought my computer was a very large bee, apparently. And she came in and was like, oh, you're having laptop problems again. I'm like, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah.
It was that bad. It was pretty horrible.
Well, Muse, it's good to actually hear from you again. Because we actually haven't talked in, like, what, a month or so? Because last time we tried to do something, I had to go away for family. And then I thought I was going to talk to you, but instead I was talking to Helen. So it's been a while. It's great to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've actually recorded something together. Is then like you going on the trip, and then me having absurd computer issues. yeah, shout out to Helen. Thank you for being our pinch hitter.
Yes,
while we're having problems.
Really appreciate it. Really do.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, Muse. How's everything been aside from, I guess, for the season? What's been the highlight for you so far, since it's almost over?
I think my two favorites from the season are probably Flying Witch and the new JoJo's. And Flying Witch, or those of you who listened to the beginning spring podcast that I did with Helen, I hadn't watched that, and I watched it because of what she said on that podcast, and I love it. It's fantastic little slice of life anime about a witch, and it does a great mix of, like, you know, just like I could see this kind of witch existing in reality, just that kind of mundane day-to-day magic, but it's still being something, you know, unique. It's not an action-oriented show or anything like that. Like, people expecting flashy magic, you're going to be very disappointed. But it's a very, it's hard to explain. It's a very atmospheric show, and I love every episode of it.
To me, it's like that fantasy show you just kind of wish it wasn't so serious all the time, which is what Flying Witch is to me. Like, it's very lighthearted. Have a witch coming in. It's nothing completely, like, crazy or anything like that. It's just a kind of introduction to witches and what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, if you've ever wondered, like, well, what do, you know, people day-to-day in this kind of world, you know, go about their lives, and this is the show for you, because, I grew up with the Harry Potter series. That was one of my big fandoms growing up, but I always loved, like, the little mundane details about that world, about, like, you know, the Weasley house and how they live, stuff like that. It's like, there's a whole show that's that kind of stuff, and that's what Flying Witch is. So, and I love it. And then the complete opposite of the spectrum is JoJo's, which is just guys fighting stand users. But it's super entertaining. I love how unique the stand powers are with this part.
Did you watch the recent episode?
Yes.
I really wish I could find a chef that can, like, cure all my health problems. I really do.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't believe JoJo's did Food Wars before Food Wars.
Oh, man. Yeah, you gotta remind yourself, this is a really old series that's just now getting turned into an anime, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's...
It's good. It's super entertaining.
Yeah,
I'm still keeping up with Kiznaiver. I still don't know how to pronounce that, but that's the kind of show where I'm just like every week I'm like, I don't know if I still want to keep watching this, and then the next week I'm watching it, and I don't know why. It's kind of getting to a point where I feel like it's getting that Mario Kata, you know, way too melodramatic thing going on, you know? And I'm just, like, it's getting to the point where I'm just like, I've watched this much, I might as well finish it, but I don't really care too much anymore.
Aww. Well,
just a little sad, because I did start getting attached to some of the characters, but then the melodrama, I think it wasn't well enough established for me personally, anyway. I've seen it works for other people. It just didn't work for me this time. This is coming from someone who very much enjoyed Anohana, and that did work for me
maybe
there.
Maybe
so.
That's why. I've seen her tricks before.
Yeah, I just like it worked for me in that show, I think because those relationships were very well defined from the beginning. In this show, it's just like, yeah, and they're together, and it's been a week. And I'm like, you're this emotional after only a week?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, in this case, I mean... They're put in a situation where everybody has to feel each other's pain. That's basically the hook.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't want to put spoilers out there. It personally, it's not working for me. Mm. That's what it comes down to.
Mm. Well, it's not my favorite show, but it's one of, I find it pretty enjoyable. Pretty much the bigger standout to me was, well, it's kind of cheating, so I'm gonna have to put it in two categories: sequels and then new shows. Sequels, obviously, JoJo stands out. It's basically taken what the second half of like Stardust Crusaders, and basically has just kept that formula up. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's so good. It's just a joy. Each and every week, I'm just watching it, just to see how these crazy stands work, just to see how the characters deal with it. It's just very impressive to me, at least. I love it. Like, it's definitely a step up from like the first half of Stardust Crusaders, and then it's just continuing from where it left off when we last saw JoJo. Then we got Ushio and Tora. This freaking show this season, like it started to get really good in the second half of last year. It was in the fall last year. Did it in the fall last year? It aired pretty, I think it was maybe spring, actually. I take that back. It was a pretty entertaining show last year. Now it's back, and I'm just like, wow, this is really good. Basically, the big baddie is really putting his really coming in and just causing lots of trouble. It's very serious. Bappa has really done a great job trying to resurrect this really old. This is a really old property, like it's like something in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken. It's now finally an anime, and it's closing really strongly. I wish I could say like, oh hey, you guys, if you haven't watched Ushio and Tora, you should totally watch it this year. You got to make sure you watch the earlier episodes though, because it's not gonna work if you just jump in right away. But that's those two, JoJo and Ushio and Tora, have definitely stood out for me this season. I guess for new shows, I love RE0. Like, I actually like it a lot. I like it a lot more than I thought I would. This guy coming out of fantasy. The only obvious problem I think is that we still don't know why he's there. I'm going to assume it's going to explain at some point. And then it's obviously the gimmick is that he dies. He dies a lot in this show, but he always comes back. My first thought is, okay, he's like in an RPG like setting. I'm pretty sure he's just like restarting from his last save point. That's literally the only other thing I understand. But just like his attitude, like all the stuff that comes through his way. Like, okay, he's trying to like save this girl, but then it doesn't work out. So when he starts, so he tries to do something different, it doesn't work out. So he has to try to find a solution in order to like either save the girl or at least like advance the story, his story, whatever's going on. It's very interesting. I didn't think I would like it as much as I thought. As I seen everybody else has loved it, I like, why is everybody loving it so much that I check it out? And oh, it's pretty good. It's pretty solid stuff. Let's see, there should be. Let's see, what else? Not that. Oh, and My Hero Academia, that show. That show. It's definitely been entertaining. Bakugo's still annoying, just like he was in the manga, but I can at least like deal with it because all the other stuff is pretty cool. Just the hero, just being like the guy who didn't have any heroic powers, just getting not only just getting the power, but he has to learn how to use it. It's very it's entertaining to me at least. Like I'm watching other stuff too. Like Sakamoto, I'm watching. It's not actually funny, but it's moderately entertaining. It's nothing offensive or inoffensive or anything like that. It's a good show to just like, if you need a show to watch, it's worthwhile. What's been watching? Watching another sequel, well, two sequels actually: Assassination Classroom and The Asterix War. Spring season's been pretty okay. Can't complain too much. I dropped all the shows I didn't like, so I really got no problems this season.
Yeah, same here. I mean, and the only other show I'm still really watching week to week is the Ace Attorney adaptation, which everybody seems to hate but me.
Okay, I need to hear this one.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Like, I think it's a pretty good adaptation of the first game. Everybody else seems to be more upset over the animation quality to enjoy it, and I will agree on that point. It's not like top tier level animation quality, but I do think it gets the spirit of the first game pretty well. Like, if it's people, you know, for people who just want to kind of generally check it out or don't have access, you know, to the first game for one reason or another, like, that's a pretty good look at what it's like. I mean, obviously it's not going to have the gameplay elements or things like that, but as far as like game to anime adaptations, I've seen far worse, so maybe that's why I'm more tolerant of it, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I only like very few people actually like Ace Attorney, and then I'm surprised to hear you like it. I didn't even know you were watching it. That's one. And then I do know somebody that I'm going to interview tomorrow. She's writing about it. She seems to like it. I'm going to ask her if that's really the case, but I think she likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did I say interview?
Yes, you did.
I guess that means I should talk about this upcoming feature that I hope to do consistently on the site, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So, to get this, like, long winded story, just to shorten it, I used to do a column back when we were called Organization Antisocial Geniuses, just called Thursday Lab Report. I would just try to interview people that were remotely involved in anime and manga. We're kind of Japanese culture, actually. This time, it's not that much different, except I'm putting my ego into this and naming it after myself, and then also, this is supposed to be a little bit more lighthearted than that one, which just not that much. Like, I tried to be that way when I did the original Thirst Lab Report, but this is the same here. It's not that much different. But for this one, this is a little bit more planning involved for this one. Like, just for business, like, just for like my schedule, like right now, it's just that I have to just try to do things as early as I can. So like, I interviewed Sentai. She's mostly done Sentai voice acting before, and she's also done script writing for them, Caitlin Barr. That interview is already done. It's gonna go up tomorrow. By the time this podcast comes out, it will already be out. But it's gonna come up. I hope you guys enjoy it. Talk about how she got into anime. Obviously, it involved Sailor Moon. Talked about some voice acting things she liked. When she worked on the dub, she had to voice an announcer who was voicing a pig race, and I'm just like, wait, what? What is this with pigs? Oh my god. So yeah, there's some good, hopefully some good stuff in there that you guys will get a kick out of. And then upcoming, we'll have an interview with Lauren Orsini. If you know her, she is the otaku journalist, but she also does her writing at Forbes and Anime News Network. Mm-hmm. So I'm interviewing her tomorrow, and I did get confirmation that I'll be interviewing Ajani Oloye. He is the editor at Kodansha Comics. He's edited Yamada Kun and Seven Witches, and he's editing Inuyashiki, among his other stuff he's done. So we're definitely going to get into that, but also he's black, and we're going to definitely try to have a little bit of discussion on race, I guess, in the industry. Maybe not too heavy, but I have yet to formulate all the questions, but that's definitely going to be one thing we're going to do. So be on the lookout for that. And you guys are, like I said, just going to be lighthearted, hopefully. So hope you guys will enjoy the Justin Lab Report.
Yeah, check that out when those go live. Okay, so I'm just going to put it out there that what we're going to talk about next, that I was going back and forth on whether we should even talk about it on here.
Really could have flipped the coin in this one, you know? Really, yeah, could have left it up to luck.
Uh-huh. Is it? I feel like it has already been, this subject has already been beaten into the ground, and that people have put what my feelings are on this topic in a much better, more eloquent way than I will probably be able to right now, because I have very strong feelings on this subject. But it is newsworthy in the fandom, and I feel like it's going to continue to be a thing, especially if this is successful. So we're just gonna put it up, we're gonna put it out there, and then I never want to talk about it again, hopefully.
You should also note that this could also fail, too.
Yeah. I'm hoping for that, honestly. If you can't tell by my tone or the words succeed or fail, we're gonna talk about the Kodomo no Jikan Kickstarter for a minute.
Oh, you're talking about Ninflit. Oh.
Oh god. Yeah, just insert retching noises here.
I think you're more familiar with this than I am, should I just explain what I know about it? Or does it...
I think you should go first, because I've already started to make it clear that I do not have any positive feelings on this subject. So you can go for it, because you're a bit less biased.
Okay. Well, it's more like, it's just that it just calls into question what digital manga publishing, which it's technically licensed by Project Age, but Project Age is part of the digital manga publishing line. It just calls into question what they're going after. My knowledge obviously is, like, you obviously hear all the bad stuff about it, like Kodomo Jikan. I believe it has a third, this is set like in third grade or something like that. And this girl has a hots for a teacher, really. But before that, Seven Seas tried to license this title. It did not, like, go over too well. And then it especially did not go over too well when they called it Ninflet. If you do it like a search on Google or whatever like that, or Twitter, you're not gonna get a good name, you're not gonna get any good images. So that was weird from the start. I guess, well, obviously back then I don't think you could like have like just straight Japanese titles, so maybe that's why they went with that change, but I think it was a poor one. Just saying that just sounds poor. And then obviously bookstores, when they found out about it, they weren't gonna stock it, so that was a failure right there. This is more interesting in the sense that Kickstarter is allowing this. It just makes you question, like, what's Kickstarter's rules? Because I think Project H also, like, kickstarted a hentai on there. And supposedly, this isn't a hentai. That Kodomo is technically not a hentai. But yeah, the other hentai that they got kickstarted, if I'm not mistaken. And now they're using this to do Kodomo no Jikan. That's literally my understanding of it. Obviously I've heard way too many sides, two sides to it. One that says, oh no, it's actually very sweet. It actually goes really dark. Like, I even, when I was looking at information about this, there was this one person who was reading the scans, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe he was reading it in Japanese, I don't know. Okay, I'll just throw it out there, maybe it's a mix or two, but was reading it, was really enjoying it or something like that. I think he didn't sound like he was enjoying it just because obviously the creepy tendencies of it, but it was actually going for a deeper meaning than, oh, it's supposed to be arousing and stuff like that. But then you have the other side where it's pretty clear, it's obviously going for arousal, and then also they feel that for some reason Project H is lying about the content, which is a big negative. I just seen like some people that say, okay, obviously it's not a manga that should possibly be published, but if it is going to be published, there's no point, because it's just a case of you just banning this material, and there should be no material that's banned. Like, I've seen some people that will look at the Kickstarter that way. There shouldn't be any content that should be banned. Obviously, it shouldn't be in the wrong hands, but it shouldn't be banned. That's literally all the understanding I have of it. I have not actually seen any of the images of the manga. That's literally it. So yeah, that's my thoughts about it. Do you have anything to retort?
Yeah. Okay, so, well, I'll just give a little bit of context pieces here for my opinion. First, for those of you listening who may not know, I am trying currently to get hired as an English teacher, and I've worked with kids for several years now, so I have very strong opinions on creepers in school workplaces, and those feelings are mainly kill it with fire, and I will destroy you if you come near my chair.
Okay.
That kind of deal.
Okay.
The other bit of context is that long before I wanted to become a teacher, back when I was just kind of derping around with figuring out whether I wanted to do English or creative writing for my degree, and I used to hang out on a lot more on 4chan.
Wait, what?
And
time out. What?
Long
what?
Time ago.
What?
A decade.
What?
Ago.
This is breaking news right here. You were on A. What?
A long time ago.
My mind is blown. Okay.
So at that time, some of you listening may remember that there was, like, you know, that joke, you know, give me an anime to watch, and you would get one of two titles, Boku no Pico or Kodomo no Jikan. And I've watched neither of those, but because those were, you know, running jokes on A, there were a lot of images from both of those series, and that was how I was exposed to Kodomo no Jikan in the first place. So I have seen images from the manga fan-translated things from the manga. I did not seek that out on my own, because just the few images, I was like, nope, heck no, absolutely not. That is kid porn. No.
Okay, so it is kid porn.
In my opinion, it is. And that's where this, like, I do not have a strong enough word to condemn this manga. I think it is out and out child porn, and I know that there are people on the internet who will argue to the death on the other end, but it's like, you get, like, there's that argument people say, no, it's going for a deeper psychological angle. It's like, so then why are we sexualizing small children? It's not that, this is not the kind of series or case where it's just like, oh well, it's anime girls, so they look younger. No, they're actually meant to be children, and they are actually sexualizing them. And I was not aware of this until this came up again with this Kickstarter recently, but apparently the relationship between the teacher and the kid is consummated in this manga. So it's kid porn, as far as I'm concerned. End of story, period. This is child porn. And I feel that the Kickstarter by Digital Manga, you know, in their description for the Kickstarter, you know, just kind of dancing around the issue, saying, you know, like, oh, well, you need to read it with an open mind, and you need to, it's like, the fact that they don't say, this is about a teacher having a relationship with a very young student, the fact that they can't even say that, that means that they know that this is going to get people in trouble. And that this is an international Kickstarter as well. They're, if this succeeds, it's going to be shipping places. So there's a possibility of people in other countries, you know, getting arrested, you know, for trying to distribute child porn across borders. And if it really, if they really were just presenting it as, oh, this is just, you know, a piece of art or, you know, that kind of thing, then why are we off, why are they offering body pillows of these characters? For instance, like, that says it all right there, as far as I'm concerned. I heard the other day that the people running the Kickstarter, they were on a different podcast, and they were saying, like, no, it's child erotica, and I'm like, that's even worse sounding. What is wrong with you? I just... yeah, so my thoughts on it are, someone is going to get arrested, and this is child porn, and just as a reminder to everybody in the States, the First Amendment... We know what people yelling about censorship. The First Amendment does not protect obscenity, and child porn falls under obscenity. If this title went to court, I have no doubt that this would be considered child porn. And so all of your arguments about censorship go out the window, because it's it. I don't think it would be considered artistic. I think it would be considered smut. And so I have very, very strong emotions on digital manga trying to kickstart this, and they have completely lost my business. Like, I've bought Tezuka manga from them in the past. I'm not buying anything from them ever again because of their trying to dance around the issue and not say what it really is. Because 10 years ago, and like I said, I was around for the Seven Seas bit, like, Nymphet, that comes from Lolita. Which, you know, if you want to make a distinction, like, Lolita, that novel, like, it makes no... Like, it's from the perspective of the creeper. But he's deliberately creepy. Like, he makes no excuses for how creepy he is. I don't feel that this manga does that same thing. But Seven Seas, it seemed like they did it out of a misunderstanding. When that whole thing went down, from what I remember of it, like, they announced it, they put up their website, the sane part of the internet went, no, you guys, do you know what this is? And Seven Seas was like, oh, well, you know, it's just, it's like a joke. And people were like, no, it's not a joke, actually. And Seven Seas went back to the publisher and were like, you know, hey, they're saying this is child porn, can you confirm, deny? And they got more material from the Japanese publishers, and Seven Seas, like, completely... did a 180 and went like, you know what, you guys were right, sorry, we're pulling the whole thing down. And that also says it all, I think, that the publisher that was originally going to bring this to the States, once they found out more about it, were like, oops, sorry. The fact that booksellers didn't want to carry it says a lot.
I think that's bigger issue, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, people can shout censorship all they want, but it is also within people's rights to say, you know, we're not carrying this. And, like, I know, like, Digital Manga has tried to present the Kickstarter just like, oh, we're just getting it to the fans, but if this, like, let's say, like, for instance, we had that issue several years ago with Canada, you know, seizing manga on the border and calling it child porn. Like, Canada's gonna lose their mind if Kodomo no Jikan crosses its border.
Who's the guy who got arrested? Christopher Hanley, I think it was? The guy in Iowa? Yeah.
And that stuff was nothing compared to what's in Kodomo no Jikan. Like, I am very anti-censorship. I am big on artists expressing themselves however they want. I do not feel this is artistic expression. I feel like this is smut, and this is gross, and all of you arguing the opposite, I want nothing to do with you. I want nothing to do with digital manga anymore, because they're excusing this and trying to bring it over and trying to ship it internationally. I want nothing to do with the people who are arguing that this is somehow censorship, that they can't have their child porn. I can't go any further without starting to swear. it's just there are not strong enough words for me to just express my absolute disgust at this entire situation.
I guess the first thing is, how, based on the way you said it, I'm still, it makes me still stunned that Kickstarter is allowing it, but it also makes me realize that digital manga is technically lying to them, because
they're lying by omission and they're playing with words.
Like, yeah, like the way that this is apparently described, they're not like they're not explaining. I guess Kickstarter obviously has their own rules and stuff, but I guess they can't bet everything. I'm going to assume, like, if it goes through Kickstarter on foot, I think Kickstarter has to know more about it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Kickstarter is so big at this point that that stuff is going to fly under their radar, and this might be one of those things.
It's probably not.
I also
be for
feel
long,
like
though.
The, but I feel like they probably have, like, you know, an algorithm or something in place, and I feel like if digital manga had put what this actually contains on their Kickstarter page, it would have been pulled.
Yeah, it would have been banned immediately. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess this is where it comes down to Kickstarter and digital manga. They've been using that platform for a while now to, like, bring their stuff over. So I'm pretty sure their experience in, like, just making sure it's written for a Kickstarter, for the Kickstarter's rules and guidelines. And
yeah, I also feel like, which is another part of where my disgust for this Kickstarter comes in, I feel like because digital manga was kind of, you know, like, flying under the radar even for people in the anime and manga community who follow this stuff, you know? Because it was just like, oh, another Tezuka Kickstarter, okay, you know, and I feel like they also did this because of publicity. You know? Which, again, was another reason why I'm like, I don't really want to talk about it, because it's like, now people are talking about them again, and it's,
it is what it is.
It's like, you know, just sell porn. Get your name out there, and I just, I, oh my gosh, I want nothing to do with them ever again. On the flip side, though, I am glad that people, I mean, it's pretty much a replay of what happened with when Seven Seas tried to bring it over. You know, people just being like, oh my god, really? It, Twitter that day, it kind of felt like the beginning of JoJo's Part 3, where, like, you know, Joseph comes in, like, Dio's back, and, you know, everybody knows, like, ah, and, you know, new people are like, who's that? I don't know why I should be concerned. It doesn't seem that bad. It's like, no, it's bad.
Wait, time out. Did you just, like, compare the situation to JoJo's, to Bizarre? Did you just do that?
Yes, I'm comparing Kodomo no Jikan to Dio.
We have officially jumped the shark. I think it's time to officially move on before, you know, we make other horrible references that mean they not need to be referenced. maybe we should talk about something different and more uplifting.
Let's never speak of this again.
So even if it gets Kickstarter, or even if it fails getting Kickstarter.
I hope it fails. If it does succeed, then I'm expecting news of people being arrested internationally.
Okay.
That's how I think this is going to go.
Okay. So yeah, Cardcaptor, Sakura. Yeah, I guess the sequel's out, isn't it?
Yeah, so I don't believe it's available anywhere legally in English at this point, although I haven't been looking.
I don't think it is.
The first chapter came out. There's, like, a bunch of promotional stuff in Japan for it right now, because it's a huge series over there as well, obviously. A lot of people have a lot of fond memories of it, you know, as we do over here.
Except me.
Oh, yeah, those of us who grew up in the 90s. Well, I think that was my first Magical Girl show.
Hey, I grew up in the 90s, too. Don't go
No,
there.
I know. If you were a girl in the 90s, or... Well, I shouldn't say that. If you were into that kind of anime in the early 90s, and were of a certain age bracket, guys can like it, too. I'm not...
Yep. It's on my list to watch, so don't worry.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just... But Helen kind of covered my same feelings on it last time, and now since it's out, I guess I'll throw my two cents in too. I put this on my Twitter a little bit, but like I'm like, about the whole thing. Like I am not hyped for it the way other people are. Because I don't trust Clamp anymore to not like completely drop the project or like retroactively work it into their multiverse nonsense. And I don't know. I just I don't trust them anymore.
Oh my God, what it like when it is when it all end for you, I guess, because I think I asked Helen this. I think I asked Helen this question, but I'm not sure if it's a similar question, but I'm curious, what when did it start for you, their downfall, I guess.
Well, I followed the Tsubasa Chronicles and the Holic in college. And it just like and at first, Tsubasa Chronicles was I thought it was great at first. I always had this like, you know, this because the multiverse idea, the way it was at the beginning, and I can't really remember because this was many years ago. But it was like they were re they weren't the same characters. They were repurposing their characters for this multiverse idea, and they were going to new places and new areas, and it was like, you know, like bad example, but I guess kind of like a Kingdom Hearts feel to it, you know, like we're traveling to different worlds to save everything, you know, and it was kind of a cool concept. And it started falling apart on me as I think it just got too big for its own good. And it just started like contradicting itself, and you know, it got way too complicated. Like, I don't even know how many versions of Sakura and there are anymore. And it just kind of, and then, like, and then Tsubasa Chronicles just kind of ended. Like, for me, and then, like, Holic is still going, apparently, which I was surprised to find out. I thought that had ended a few years ago, but Holic just kind of tapered off for me, where I wasn't really interested in what was going on there anymore. And then just, like, Clamp goes on and, you know, does more series, but then, like, every single thing they put their hands on or created, they had to work it back into that multiverse thing in some way. Like, the Kobato manga. There's a random chapter where just characters from Tsubasa Chronicles just show up, and then they, you know, put their place in that multiverse thing. It was even in the Blood Sea movie, which I just like I literally screamed at my computer. I'm like, no.
Yeah, Helen told me that, and I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah, they went to
It's not.
the shop from Holic in the Blood Sea movie. There was no reason for that. They're just using Clamp's designs, and yet they still found a way to work it into their multiverse, and it doesn't make any sense anymore.
I was saying this, Helen, but Blood Plus was like a. Like a different series and all that stuff. And Blood Sea was to be a part of that particular series, not their universe.
Yep, they found a way to have this random fortune-telling thing. I don't. It's gotten out of hand. To put it lightly, it's gotten way out of hand. And they also like they've started several series in the past few years that they've just completely dropped, or they said, "Oh, it's on break." But it's like, well, X is also on break. It's been on break since 1999.
Yeah, they have like this Jump Square title that I think that they haven't worked on in a while too.
Yeah, they'll start series, or they'll announce that they've started a series, and it'll just slowly go away. But like, while all this nonsense has been happening for the last, you know, over a decade or so, I think it is now, is like, even though like they reused Cardcaptor characters in the multiverse thing, it was very clearly put that like these are different dimension versions of these same people. Like, they're not the people from the Cardcaptors universe. So it was like, okay, well, all of this is going to crap and is nonsense, but at least Cardcaptors is in its own little bubble, and that will be fine. And then they announce the sequel, and I'm like, all right, so how long are they until they try to make their multiverse thing work into this again? So because of that, I have no interest in the sequel. I'm like, I'm just gonna stay with my nostalgia in the original series over here and pretend that that's not even happening.
Oh man, that's pretty, yeah, jeez.
I just don't have any faith in them anymore.
Oh my God.
Like, I know it's their series and their characters, and they can do whatever they want, but I'm also free to ignore it,
Pretty
which I'm gonna
much.
do.
But what about the people that are going to be reading it or watching it or something, and you're not joining them?
I hope that, you know, best case scenario, I hope Clamp proves me wrong, and they just, you know, do a sequel thing, and it's nice, and it's great, and they don't run it into the ground with all of their multiverse magic contradictory nonsense. Because that would be cool, but I'm going to wait and see on that, and I'm going to let people have their fun. Like, if they want to enjoy that, more power to them. Because I've seen a lot of people some people that I know who haven't been into anime for years, and they're like, oh my gosh, Cardcaptor's back. And I'm like, oh, I cannot rain on your parade. I'm not going to say anything.
Do it! Save them!
No, I'm just like, you know, I hope for the best, but I'm not going to participate in it.
Well, I can't stop you, and obviously I have no real knowledge of Cardcaptor Sakura, just that I'm supposed to watch it. I think I should check to see if it's on Crunchyroll, but I think it is on Crunchyroll. I'm supposed to watch it at some point on my long list of anime I'm supposed to watch that I never watched when I was a kid or past stuff. So yeah, okay, well, I guess it's the big thing for you. This might be a big news for both of us, actually. I think we talked about this before, but remember when Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and the Conqueror Shambhala? Was it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was Conqueror Shambhala. I think those two. Remember when Aniplex had, you know, said, you know what, we're not going to renew the license to you guys for Funimation, so yeah, that's it. And then we were all sad and stuff like that, but we're all also like, oh, but you know, they still got the 2003 version, and I think they even renewed it or something like that. So yeah, we should be, right. Just be fine for like a couple years, and then all of a sudden you get the news that, oh no, the rights are going to expire July 31st, and you're just like, Aniplex, why?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my.
Oh boy.
You know what the first thing this made me, when I, you know, I'm going to tell you a little, it's not that interesting, but when somebody had tweeted the prices for a Full Metal Alchemist set, I actually had no concept. I thought it was just like somebody selling it just like regular disc on Amazon or something like that, and they charged like that much, so I just jumped in with a little bit of a joke. I didn't realize at the time that this was actually them. It was actually based off the fact that Funimation is now no longer going to have the rights to Full Metal Alchemist, the first version of Full Metal Alchemist. And I'm just like, oh, that's why. So then after I realized that, the first thing that I thought about is, what is Aniplex like really doing right now? Not just, I guess not necessarily just like in America, but the Japan version, the Japan branch. If it's starting to feel like they're gonna phase out the Aniplex of America, this is obviously just me throwing it out there. Obviously, I have no confirmation or anything like that, but considering the way they charge prices and stuff like that, is there like, and then also they have kind of a relationship with Crunchyroll. Is there like any point of having the Aniplex of America branch? I'm not seeing it at the moment. And then they don't acquire that many titles in the first place, and then now all of a sudden they're not letting other companies get their titles. It's a little bit concerning. Just a little bit.
Yeah, the fact that they're pulling, you know, their old title. I mean, even though like Full Metal Alchemist is a huge title, the fact that they're even pulling the 2003 license, it makes me wonder. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they've been, for the past several years, they've obviously been more interested in not licensing out their stuff, but just selling their stuff on their own. But, yeah, I don't know what they're playing there. I mean, obviously, people have been complaining for years now about, you know, the prices that they sell their titles at, a price that Japanese fans pay, you know, the hundreds of dollars. But the average anime fan over here, you know, we're used to our $40 to $60 box sets, and even then people complain.
That's true.
So, I mean, obviously it's been successful for them to sell to people who can afford that price range, and yet, I don't know.
I don't know, it's just very unfortunate, because obviously it's going to be weird to realize that, you know, Funimation, they had the rights to Full Metal Alchemist for over a decade, and to now they don't have the rights for it anymore. It's a weird feeling. And then I guess the common sense is that Aniplex is going to release it again in the future, but obviously Funimation is selling it right now. They've been selling it for years.
It's been continuously in print for a long time.
Is it going to be a market? I mean, what could they possibly add that's going to be worth paying it, or double dipping or triple dipping, I guess? I don't know. Mm. What could they possibly add?
Because Funimation put out that box set a while back, right? It was kind of close to Aniplex pricing, but it had like all kinds of crazy stuff. Like that was like the definitive edition.
They were
putting it out as, and I was like, yeah, that does look pretty sweet.
Yeah,
and Aniplex doesn't tend to make their stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just weird. And then like,
it's odd that, because my impression from how they've been acting up until this point was that they were just going to sell their own titles on their own from here forward, and you know, all previous was whatever. But the fact that they're pulling their back titles, the back title licenses too.
Yeah. It's just weird right now. And then obviously, July 31st, you can't actually watch like Full Metal Alchemist legally. Hey, you know, I believe Full Metal Alchemist is on all those like top 10 lists, and could always be like really like on. You know, people could really like watch that or buy it, but now they can't really do that because it's not gonna go out of print, and now you can't find it on any of the legal sites anymore. So it's like, what are you guys? What kind of message are you sending when you're taking this away?
Yeah, the only thing I wonder is, like, you know, did they not want to share the money, the Full Metal Alchemist money, with Funimation anymore? Because, you know, like, obviously it's still been selling all this time.
Yeah, it's like, it makes you wonder about their relationships. That's the thing. Like, what direction
also,
are they going in?
It's just the availability that Full Metal Alchemist has had for all these years. I mean, that was one of the first titles to go up for legal streaming, if I remember correctly.
Really?
I mean, I don't know if one of the first, but I remember when legal streaming started becoming a thing, that was one of those that was up there, because it's just so huge. I mean, I remember that was also back in the day, that was a huge piracy title.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's like, now we're used to it being legally available everywhere, and now what? You know?
Yeah, like, what's the end game?
I don't know.
Just makes you, like, obviously, I don't know, it just seems like clear, like, okay, this is business over making it available, like, for people to actually watch, which is like, okay, this really sucks for the fans. Maybe
it's
there's more.
Like, if Aniplex immediately turns around and like makes it available on Crunchyroll or something, I don't know, then I guess that's one way of doing it. But if it's like the only way you can get it is buying this $300 DVD set, then that's
it only has like wait else. gotta be more specific. It has to have just 1 to 10 episodes, but then it has to have the postcard and maybe a soundtrack, maybe even a signature from the voice actors too, who knows. But you have to be more specific when you talk about Aniplex now. That's how they're selling it, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, it's just like, it's good. And you bring that scenario up where it's gonna be on Crunchyroll, I'm just gonna be like, why am I streaming this title on Crunchyroll?
That also makes me wonder, does pulling the rights to that, does that mean they also have the rights to the 2003 dub, or are they gonna do a new dub?
Oh yeah, it makes you that does make you wonder, right?
Because is that a separate rights thing? Because
because
I feel like people will revolt if it's not that.
Well, the only thing I'm thinking back is like, if you get like I think Funimation is doing this Kickstarter for Escaflowne, they have to kind of do a new dub for that, if I'm not mistaken.
But yeah, they have to, because there was additional content that was never dubbed previously.
Okay.
So it was either just like offer the original dub without that additional content, and then the sub with the additional content, or redub the whole thing, additional content included.
Hmm.
So that was a weird case.
Okay.
But I'm just speculating, because I'm just like, I don't know if like the rights is just like the show itself, or does the show rights come with the dub? Because obviously we can't see the contracts. So.
Yeah, unless you just like find somebody that works for one of these companies and just be like, okay, look, I'll tell you this, just give me the dough, just tell me what, just tell me what's going on here, give me a contract. Yeah, unless something like that, yeah, we're never gonna know. I'm just curious as to if when are they actually going to release it, if they ever release it. Like, I wonder if this is a possibility that they may not actually, like, bring this title back.
I'm sure they will, though. It's too huge for them not to. I mean, they've released titles that, you know, have had much less traction with, you know, the Western fan base, that I can't see them not releasing this.
Right, but you know, it's not obviously a different situation, but did you realize that all that other title that's on the top 10 list, Neon Genesis Evangelion, you know the TV series is not, like, streaming legally anywhere, right?
Oh, no, yeah. No, that hasn't been anywhere.
Yeah, you wonder, okay, could they be doing this because of the movie, or could this be because of the company that's just, like, saying, no, you can't stream the TV show?
Who knows? Yeah, that's a good question, because I think that one hasn't that been out of print for a bit, because the movies are in print, obviously.
Yeah, Funimation has the rights to the movies, but it's like, what about the TV show? It's just too old, or what's going on, guys?
Like, that is something that would make bank, whoever has it.
It's just like, you don't know what these businesses are capable of, and
that's true.
Who knows when they'll. You would hope they'll bring the full Malcolm license back soon, but then you have to also wonder, are people going to buy it? What's going to be the appeal of getting it then, like in 2020 or whatever, as opposed to already having it? Like, I think the they've already had Blu-rays out of this, and what, you're going to make it 4K?
Oh, yeah, God. I don't know.
No. Why did I just say that? Oh, my God, no.
Well, because right now the release to beat is that what I mentioned earlier, that release that Funimation put out, you know, that definitive edition thing. So they'd have to top that, I think.
Yeah, and I just gave them the blueprint. 4K version of Fullmetal Alchemist. I don't know how they can do it, but maybe they can do that. I'm serious. I don't know if they can actually do that legitimately, but if you're trying to top like what Funimation's done, and you're bringing this back out after like years of like holding the rights to it, then yeah, it's gotta go 4K, right? Yeah, I guess that's about it for me. It's just really sad, actually. I guess the only last thing I would say is that July 31st is when it expires, so if you haven't watched it yet, I don't know why you haven't watched it yet, you should. If you want to just, like, watch it over again, because you really thought that Brotherhood was really superior, but then you realize, wait, was the original that bad? You should go watch it now. Just go do
but
that.
Yeah, if you're curious, watch it now. If you're one of those people who are like, you know, oh, I'm going to buy that eventually, but it's been in print for forever, so I can get it whenever, and now's the time to get it.
Yeah, like, I already heard it, like, it went up on prices.
I'm sure it has. Like, I went to go grab the Brotherhood DVDs after that got announced, and, like, I looked at the Amazon listing, like, that morning, and was like, yeah, I'll order it tonight, and then I went back that night, and it was gone. Yeah. So I messed up. Oh, well. But, so, yeah, if you want it, grab it now. This is why we buy discs, people. Because, you know, streaming licenses don't last forever.
Yeah, the catch-22 of, oh, great, streaming is great, it's more convenient, but then you obviously have the other side of it. It's not going to stay up forever. Mm-hmm. Maybe unless it's Naruto. I don't know.
It's good for stuff you just want to, like, watch once just to see what it is. But if you actually, like, love a show, do not rely on streaming.
Yeah, that's basically my rule. If you really, really love this show, you shouldn't just, like, say, okay, I'm going to just, like, stream it all the time. You should, like, have the actual physical property.
Mm-hmm. Licenses expire, websites go away, get something physical.
So, did anything other newsworthy catch your eye this past couple weeks?
Not particularly. It's been, I mean, other than the stuff we've focused on, it's been kind of quiet. You know, everybody's just kind of enjoying their anime. Kind of a slow season.
Yeah, there's not that much news, except this one from Funimation, which took me by surprise. They even sent me the press release, so cool, I actually get to read it. Funimation Entertainment is proud to announce its acquisition of the restored edition of Mitsuyo Seo's Momotaro Sacred Sailors, the first future-length animated film produced in Japan. Whoa. That that's big news.
I saw that.
That's big news to me, because the first one, I mean, obviously it's described as a propaganda film, so obviously it's going to be heavily Japan-oriented, stuff like that.
The first anime ever is a World War II propaganda film.
Yeah, I mean, and it was produced in 1944. You can't, I mean...
Yeah, you can't, that's, yeah, context.
Yeah, you just gotta, it's more like you're going to appreciate it, because I'm pretty sure it's going to suck. I'm sorry to say, but it's literally, like, old and everything, but this is history, right? This is history right here. That's, if you like anime and you kind of, like, want to know more about history, this should be, like, this should be really interesting for you to watch or try to see. At least to me it is, like.
For historical reasons, I think it's going to be fascinating to look at. I mean, like, I read the synopsis for the movie, and I'm just like, oh, they were so optimistic about their chances in this war.
I feel like if you read almost anything about the war, like I was reading Showa, the Showa series that Mizuki, the guy who did Gegege no Kitaro, Shigeru Mizuki. He basically pointed that, Japan really thought they were superior in almost every aspect. And it was very crushing for them to, like, lose the way they did, yeah.
It's like the synopsis for this movie is, like, you know, well, it takes the Momotaro myth, obviously, but then it turns it, you know, to the, like, you are the sacred warriors who will stop the demons, and I guess there's this, according to the synopsis, there's this thing where they, like, go out into the Pacific and, you know, kill all the Americans, and then they come back victorious, and it's like, they really did not see that bomb coming.
It's
pretty terrible. Like, you know, it's one of those things that, like, we're in the future, obviously, and we have context for all of this, but it's like, wow, that's some nationalism there, and... Man.
Yeah.
We're pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's
that was a pretty terrible.
Yeah. So yeah, but I'm just very curious to see just how this looks, how it's gonna look, I guess it's gonna be streamed or something like that. It's gonna be on DVDs or something. It's gonna be crazy to see. Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a couple black and white stills. And it, you know, it looks like a 40s cartoon, you know, like what you'd expect a 40s cartoon to look like.
Right, right.
But it'll be interesting to see, like, because obviously they didn't have, you know, like, because we have, you know, we know more about what American 40s comics look like, and they had, you know, certain things available to them. I'm interested in how that would look with whatever animation technology the Japanese had for that, especially considering first animated film for them.
Yeah.
Like, we had Disney, so, you know, we've all seen that 10 million times. So interesting to see a different country's first animated film.
I'm going to assume you saw a bunch of Disney stuff 10,000 times, not me.
No, yeah, well, I mean, I'm speaking in general terms, you know, because we've all been, you know, that's been beaten over our heads, you know, over here. It'll be interesting to see a different country's first animated film, you know, what they focused on instead. Which, interesting parallel in how they both went for the fairy tales.
Yeah. That's all the news I was able to find, I guess.
Yep, that's it for me here, because I'm about to go into, con prep hell, because it's a month to Anime Expo.
Oh, right.
And I'm not ready.
Right. Oh, right. Totally forgot about that. You're going to have so many stories to tell, I bet. I can always see it now.
Yeah, I'm going to the Anime Matsuri concert. Or Anisong Matsuri, rather. Going to that Saturday night. Going to see Jam Project. I'm super excited for that. I'm like last year, I'm going to probably be cosplaying most of the weekend, but two of my cosplays are not done, and they should have been done months ago.
Uh-oh.
But I procrastinate a
lot. I'm going to order you to not procrastinate, and, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at my gloves that I'm painting for my cosplay right now, and I'm like, I started you 2 months ago.
Oh dear.
I'm not done. yeah, so I guess I'll probably say more concrete stuff about what I'll be doing other than the concert probably the next time we record in like 2 weeks or so. But right now, plans are concert and Undertale cosplay. I'm gonna be cosplaying the. I'm taking those cosplays that I wore in January. I'm gonna be wearing those again. And I'm also going to have the ones I've the cosplays I've been procrastinating on are for Sans the Skeleton, which has simultaneously convinced me that I'm cosplaying the right character. I really need to get this done. I'm gonna be going as his original design and also as a design that a friend made for an alternate universe for Undertale. If I manage to pull that one off, I will be super happy, but I won't say anything more about that for now because that's not even started yet. I have to make a giant prop weapon for this one, and I don't know how I'm gonna do it yet. And I have a month to figure it out, so that'll be interesting. So you can see me screaming about that on Twitter for the next month, probably.
Lack of sleep, working on 2 hours of sleep with the coffee. Oh no, right, no coffee. No coffee. Oh,
No, no
it's
coffee for me.
a coffee.
Can't handle it. Oh yeah, it'll probably be like day before con. I did it.
Oh my God. I really think we should just wrap it up before we get into more con stories.
Yeah, all right, we'll stop it there. All right, so that's our show. I'm Muse. You can find me at Subdued Fangirl on Twitter and most other social media websites. You can find me yelling about Undertale and anime and whatever else I'm currently fangirling, obsessing with at the time.
Or that Kickstarter that will not be named anymore.
No, never again. I've said my piece. I'm done. It's dead to me
I'm Justin. You can find me on Twitter at Kami underscore Nomi. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast. Let us know your thoughts on iTunes. Just let us know what you think. If we're good, if we're bad, stuff like that.
now.
And just, I guess, a side note for those, I'm always looking to interview people, so for this future, the Justin Lab Report. If you have any suggestions, please let me know. Email me, justin@doasg.com. Just hit me up on Twitter. I'll mostly be available. That's all for me.
All right, so thanks for listening. See you guys next time.
Yes. See you next time, guys. We'll talk all about Muse's levels of A when we get there.
Bye.